Hey, welcome back to the one show that I look forward to each and every time. Defining good together. What does it mean to do good? What does good mean anymore? Everybody thinks they're doing good. Are we all doing good? Let's try and unpack the ideas of leadership, loyalty, and doing the right thing with the man. He's the only one I know that already knows how to do all this stuff here. William Deed.
How's it going?
Okay. You know, ever since your guest was saying, you know, what a unique concept for this show here. This is, of all the shows we've done in 15 years, this is probably the most unique, and I think probably one of the most needed. Because we all say, I'm doing good, everything's good, I got a good company, good culture, good profit. What does that mean? Is it just money? Does it mean you're changing people's lives? Or you're helping your customers or your community? And what do you do when one conflicts with the other, when it's not easy to do good? We're going to find out with a man who knows how to do that, with a good organization, the YMCA.
Absolutely.
So bring in your guest here.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm excited about getting this started. I wanted to meet Brent because I follow people on LinkedIn because I post on LinkedIn a lot. And so when I saw his profile, I saw these great pictures, people smiling and happy. And, you know, it's important to me when you meet someone that's a great guy and the employees love him and thinks that he's doing a wonderful job as well. And I reading your profile, I know you have up to, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but I saw that you have about 40 years. Is that right? Or 30 years and with the YMCA, right?
Yeah, almost 40. Gosh. Feels like yesterday, though.
And that's
just started.
That's so, man, today people don't stay with companies that long. So, man, that's an applaud to you for
hanging. They won't let me leave. I can't get out.
Okay. So introduce yourself. Who are you? You know?
Well, hey, again, I'm Brent Finley, the president and the CEO of the Anaheim YMCA. Incredibly proud and honored to be in this role that I am. And I knew I wanted to move into the Y career really early on, probably the sophomore year in college. I met some of the local Y staff through an internship at the Y, doing some field work credit. And I mean, I just started drinking all the Kool-Aid. I was refilling the cooler with Kool-Aid. So, and it was from that point on that I knew that I really wanted to learn the career steps, the pathway, the opportunities to, you know, make a community going from good to great. You know, I never want to stop on good. I want to see things great.
Absolutely.
You know, when I think of, you know, thriving, I think of greatness, and you can't always get there, but sometimes you might land on, mm-hmm. you know, on really, really good. And yeah. So that's okay too. But yeah, proud father of four, lovely wife, works here in Orange County. She's a local banker, and she said to make sure I plug her bank, Chase Bank. So I'm
love
doing
it.
That. So I'll get dinner tonight. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And
I have to add in, that's where my son-in-law now got a job at Chase Bank. So I'm impressed
there we
with
go.
That organization.
Yeah, great, great. Jamie Dimon does a great job. We just got to make them a bigger investor donor. We're working on that. I've been here now 4 years, really proud. I came from the Los Angeles YMCA Association, a large Y, one of our top 10 sized Y associations in the country. Nice. So, you know, you're able to take good things from various organizations. Again, I've been with six or seven different YMCA associations over my career, and I've always tried to bring the best from each situation, at least striving to put that into my, you know, my game plan. My idea of what leadership should be, you know, working with the community leaders, task forces, boards, you know, again, trying to make the best thing happen for our local Y.
Yeah, love that. Love that. And looking at the premise of the show and what you do, we're talking about it when you first came in, how a lot of people that work for you, I wouldn't say work, but volunteer for the Y, and they stay there, you know, and so I guess the first question I want to ask is, I ask this question to everyone is how did you define good as far as, you know, your job, your career as a CEO? How do you take your company, your vision and what you do, and how do you define good and mix it up into all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think good is on the continuum. Although I try to look maybe beyond what's next up from good. Yeah. You know, I don't like to get have status quo arrive and we get happy with just being good enough or okay. I mean, good's a powerful word. Hey, it's certainly much more, I'd rather be good than weak or just about ready to flame out per se. But I think, you know, being available for people, encouraging people to improve themselves, and where they become good, you know, better with their health is good, better with their activity, better with meeting people, you know, improving upon relationships. That's all good. But how do we make it a little bit better?
Yeah,
that's kind of where my space is, or that's kind of what gets me excited and gets me out of bed every morning, you know, ready to jump into my role.
I love that. That's great. I think that's so important. You know, I work for a leader similar to that. He's definitely an encourager, and I love that. You know, he calls me and he's like, look, I don't expect perfection. You know, do your thing. I don't like to be micromanaged or any of those things. And I think he's so great at that. So good. I love that. So I have these three questions, and I apologize ahead of time.
No apology needed.
And I'm going to change them around. But I guess so the first question I have is, so the YMCA emphasizes core values, right? Like caring, honesty, respect, responsibility, and ensuring that no one is turned away due to inability to pay. So explain that to me. What does that mean? And to people, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, I think, you know, our organization is founded on those values. And I think we, maybe 25 years ago, the Y nationally lifted up our character development program, thwarting those four core values. So it's kind of like the four-way rotary test. So our test is, you know, are we approaching, you know, our core values of honesty? Everything we do, we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with our members, we're honest with people. Hey, this is all we can do. This is the farthest that we can go. But we're you know, trenched in honesty, and then caring. I mean, we're caring. We want to be caring in every step of our operation. I mean, I think of caring. Think of lifeguards. You're really caring if you're a lifeguard. You may have to save somebody one day, so you're caring as a lifeguard if you take your training seriously, so that you are able to execute a rescue, a save, at any point of time. So that's just, again, such an important core value. Yeah. And then responsibility. We want our volunteers to be responsible for fundraising goals. Because if we don't fundraising, the last part you said about no one's turned away from their inability to pay for a class, a program, or even a membership. Well, that only happens if we raise the certain dollars that can come out of that fundraising bucket. Example, if a program's $100 and a family can only afford $20, and we use a sliding fee scale, so where does the $80 come? It comes from the fundraising, so that the 100% is paid, and obviously the organization, we can deliver the services with the staff and the supplies needed. So yeah, truly no one is turned away. So when we talk about our fundraising needs with our board, with our stakeholders, we apply it from the premise that it's just going to help us as an organization help that many more kids.
Yeah.
More money is just more mission.
Absolutely.
It's really that simple.
I love that. And, you know, one thing I've noticed since I've been working in Orange County is that, man, there's so many nonprofits in Orange County. There's
what, just, like 10,000?
Yeah. There's so many. It's like, I mean, and everybody has a need, you know,
and a great story and a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's so powerful. But I know the Y has been around for forever. I mean, I can remember being a kid myself and being involved as a kid and stuff. So I guess, you know, I think about when I interview these CEOs, I'm always amazed at how, I mean, because you're really the pulse of the organization, right? I think a lot of times, even myself, when I look at how my boss reacts to certain things, I go out with him to coffee when he meets with other leaders out in the community and those things, because he takes me along, because I'm the person that's leading the charge in Orange County. So I sit with him and I just watch how he reacts to things. I watch how, and I learn by doing that. I learn by watching how he talks to people and how he treats people. And it's great when you work for a guy that always puts the needs of his people first, right? I love that so much. But I also know as a leader too, there may be times when there's limited resources or whatever it might be. in running a company and trying to be successful. So how do you navigate that when there's, when that tension is there to make a certain amount of money, or maybe you didn't collect the amount of funds that you were striving to make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the, those are the things that I think keep, people like me maybe up at night, occasionally losing a little bit of sleep over, hey, you know, margins are thinning, yet we want to do good. We want, you know, another 300 kids in swim lessons or another 25 kids in the youth and government program. So, you know, for me, that really becomes motivation to work harder and not, and just, well, I guess maybe we just did okay. You know, we need to raise another $100,000. We have to figure it out. But you figure it out by lose sleep a couple nights, and you'll figure it out real fast on what it's going to take, because I want to get a full night's sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you said, treating people. Our product is all about people and all about relationships. So it's not about pools and gyms and basketballs and fitness centers. It is all about people.
Yeah.
You know, so we're an organization of people caring for people. So that. People have to be number one.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. I love that. That's heavy. Yeah. I think about for as long as you've been doing this job, obviously, you know, a lot of people, right? You've been out there. You've gone to these events. You've shaken a million hands probably in the time that you've been in your position. So how do you, when we look at it in the context of doing good, right? I've sat with people and I've not judged them, but when I've gotten to know them, you know, I look at them and I see the kind of person that they are. And then I respect them more by seeing that they're a leader. They're out there in a community and making things happen, but they're still people, like regular guys. You know, I sat with a guy a couple weeks ago, and the guy's worth about $9 billion. And I had all these preconceived ideas when I sat with this guy, and I was like, man, I how do I act? How do I behave in front of this guy? And this guy got there.
Makes you nervous.
Yeah. This guy got there, the pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and he pulls in there and he's joking the whole time. And we're having coffee and he's laughing loud and people are looking at him. And I'm like, this is just a regular guy, you know, but I love that so much because he's achieved all these great things, but yet he's just a regular guy.
Yeah, yeah. You that's a person you like being around, quite frankly, right?
Yeah.
They make you feel good. They don't make you feel lower than them by 1,000 feet or anything. They're, you know, they're not playing a level. They're just, it's mano a mano, and they're just genuine, authentic. I think when you can be yourself like that in most situations, I think people will respect that, and they'll want to like being around you. And guess what? If they like being around you, they might like wanting to give to your organization.
Absolutely.
As you said, there's 1,000 nonprofits.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great causes, but people still give to people. Do you give to people who ask who you don't like, or to people you like?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, the answer is pretty clear on that, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
And it's not easy. There are days, there's weeks, that sometimes, you know, you're under the gun of a deadline, or you're looking at registration for an event or a program, and, you know, you're not seeing it where you'd like it to be. And so, you know, inside the fire's burning, but on the exterior, you still got to figure out and ask questions that don't make people, you know, faint or fall off the cliff with anxiety. You know, you know, giving them the, you know, the accountability, but, you know, the eager desire to, hey, let's fix this together.
Yeah.
Not, oh my gosh, my boss is coming for my throat now. Yeah. That's, I think that's the wrong way to, lead. I mean, even in sports has changed. I mean, we know coaches from 15, 20 years ago, college coaches cannot treat athletes the way they did then. I mean, it is a different world we live in.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing, I think, in the work sector, workspace, at all types of work, be it fast food to even, you know, corporate 50 companies. So
you gotta treat
people better than you ever have.
Absolutely.
Because they have choices, we know.
They can
leave and find something in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, people don't hang around anymore.
No, people don't leave jobs, they leave bad bosses.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah. I worked for a company for almost 20 years, and after 20 years, I wasn't burnt out because the job, I love what I was doing. I just couldn't deal with management anymore. It was just, the culture was so horrible, you know. But I guess another question that I have for you, as in your position, and again, because you've met so many people throughout your travels, how do you foster those relationships? How do you How do you nurture those relationships, even from fellow employees in your company to people that you may sit down and have coffee with? How do you set a time in your calendar to meet with them per month, once a month, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I look at a couple things. Obviously I have four direct reports, a leadership team of 21, and a staff team of 250, wow, mostly part-time on the total 250 number. And then I've got, I think I would say 60 key volunteers that aren't board members, and they're donors and stakeholders. So I try to make an intentional, I keep a list, and it's I'm hoping I make contact at least every couple months with that stakeholder some way, shape or form. You can't have, there's only 5 days in the week, so that's five people if you're having coffee. But I try to, just about every day of the week, I either have a breakfast coffee or a lunch with a stakeholder or a board member, or I'm sending board members nice little birthday wishes on their birthday. We bring our staff team, and we all say happy birthday, Billy, and a little 4-second video. It's one little touch, yeah, but it's incredibly effective. It's hard, an organization our size with as many people, but I try not to do everything, but I try to be intentional with, I think the people that do the most for the organization, if that's the best way to put the ones that really do the heavy lifting are where the horsepower is. Because I believe if I didn't do that, they wouldn't stay around supporting the why. Others would find a way, into their end zone, and we'd lose them as a donor investor, and some other organization I won't name might snap them up on us.
yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's great.
I got a question for you here. The why's been around forever.
1844.
That long.
Wow.
Has their why of the why changed? As their WHY changed, why they're in business and what they do? Because it seems like the services have certainly changed.
Well, every year we get older, so I don't know where the why means young, right?
Well, I don't mean just whys, but I mean, like, why do you do this? What's the why? You always say you have to find your why.
Right, yeah. Sure.
It seems like Seneca. The why of the why, I was trying to be funny, the why of the why they do it has changed through the years.
I think everything changes, but I would say the powerful transformational benefit that the YMCA provides, I think it brings out the best in people, be it volunteers, be it staff, that want to do good for their community. They want to zap the gaps of where there's no services or there's maybe limited services. Quick example, there's been a Thanksgiving morning meal cooked for upwards as many as 6,000 people called We Give Thanks. And it was held every Thanksgiving morning at the Honda Center for 36 years or so. And last year it wasn't held due to the major funder backed off. And so the event could not go forward. This year, the YMCA has picked it up and kind of, this is our why we want to bring benefit and be of value to the community. So we've been hustling with some great, great new donors. And we're going to be putting on the YMCA Gives Thanks on Thanksgiving morning. So we're bringing it back. So I think when you ask that question, what's our why? We're here to serve. We're here to make a real difference and help a community thrive in as many ways as we can, from leadership development programs with our teens to summer day camp, after school
programs. But it seems like that's always evolving. You're always looking for something. You seem to be somebody who's challenging you always to get to another level, to find something else you can do, another place you can plug in.
Sure, absolutely.
I think of the Y as just an athletic, young men's Christian athletic facility. It was a place to go work out. And if you're that whole philosophy of work the mind as well as the body kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the balance of that, maybe that spirit, mind, and body, that little triangle that was known for, for 100 years as our logo. And when those, each side of that triangle, spirit, mind, and body are in balance, that triangle can stand on its tip. And so that's kind of a guiding principle for us too. We want to make sure that we address all three sides of the triangle. And sometimes the mind can be a little harder, but we look at, we have 1,200 high school kids in our after-school clubs in every one of our Anaheim Union high schools. So we have a program called Avanza, and we work on their minds. We work on self-development through workforce development, soft skill development. So that is definitely a mind-based, program per se.
Yeah, love it. Awesome.
Here's the other question I have to ask everybody that comes into this show. Is it harder to do good these days, or is it just me that feels like it?
You know? Harder to do good. No, it's not. I think it's getting easier. I think
because you're a do-good organization. I mean, you absolutely. Do good in the community here.
I can't.
Why wouldn't we have the YMCA to come in here?
I can't even imagine the alternative, right?
But I'm working with other business leaders listening to this thing. Well, it's not that easy to do good anymore because everybody's out for themselves, or we're kind of going back to this command and control tough guy act and do as I say, and I just shut up and I don't know. They say the right things, but I don't know that it's easy to do good in. Or am I just being an old crusty guy and it was always just...
I think if you can't do good, you'll be removed from the opportunity to do anything.
Wow.
You know, I think companies will fold. I mean, if you're not on that continuum from good to great, I always say, hey, let's aim for perfection, but maybe we'll land on excellence and that will be good. That will be incredible. Yeah.
Should we redefine the show into defining great together here?
There we go. We're going to all get that little red book from Tom Collins, right. Good to Great, back in front of us from about 2001, I think it was written. Yeah.
Jim Collins, right.
I brought it out, and we had a recent strategic planning session with our staff team, and I brought that back out. I don't think everybody must have looked at me like, they still use books?
What's a book?
Yeah. My young staff are, I haven't seen a book.
It's really sad.
So again, how do you reach people? Because they're distracted. They're on different mediums. They're not all reading from the same playbook.
You're right. There is no longer a single way. I think you have to have multi approaches to capture maybe the greatest portion of the audience, right? Yeah. We're talking right now with our team, how do we want to reach 16-year-olds that might want a lifeguarding position on TikTok?
Wow.
I mean, that's the only platform
TikTok,
they're on.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know what TikTok is, so I just understand that's where 16-year-olds spend some time.
I'm just learning myself about it, believe me.
We started putting clips of shows on TikTok about
there
a year
you go.
Ago, and I fought it, and I said, oh, come on, this is just a silly platform. We get such serious interest and serious replies back from the little takeaways and tidbits we put on.
Yeah, yeah, but you got to be open-minded to where you're meeting people where they're at. I mean, we can, you know, thrust our, hey, well, you know, it should be this way, or they should only be on, you know, one particular place or channel. But no, you've got to figure out where people are and where they want to be and find your tactic to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. That's huge. That's huge. So I have a closing question for you. You know, there's a lot of, even in the college that I work for, right? We're a business school. So my whole...
Let's give a plug to the college. We forgot to plug it earlier here.
Oak Valley College.
Okay.
Business college. 2 years, 8 months, bachelor's degree, fully accredited. We're a Christian nonprofit business college where you graduate and get a debt-free degree.
That alone is a great story.
Right?
Yeah,
right. Debt-free. So my closing question for you is, I get a chance to meet with a lot of these young business people that are coming up because we're a business school. So we take them out to meet CEOs of companies. We have them do a 30-second pitch. We do all these things. What would you tell a young person that's coming up that would like to be a CEO someday? Like, what would be their course as far as when we put it in the context of doing good, like how do they become the kind of person that would love other people and yet be successful at running a business?
How do they not fall into the trap? You know, it's easy. Everybody sets out to do lofty things, great things, good things, successful things. And somewhere along the way, it seems like many of us lose some of that, fall out along the way here.
I would say
compromise, give in, you know, whatever.
Advice I would give a young person that has that aspiration is surround yourself with titan-like mentors. I would jump off a cliff for a young person that wanted 20 minutes of my time once a month. I would just be so honored to help and be them showing that interest in what information or what strategies, ideas, or history I could purvey and help them with. It happened maybe once I can think of in the last 6 months. One of our staff members had that. We had that same conversation. Wow. I mean, I cross stuff off my calendar to have that conversation. Don't be afraid of asking people you don't even know. People are, you know, I think there's a real core group of CEOs that would be happy to help mentor young people.
You say that so casually, though, and I believe you, but I wonder how many leaders would really walk that walk.
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough. Busy. I'd love to do it, but hey, do you see my calendar? You see my commitments?
I would ask the question, Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO, who gave you your start? Yeah. How did you launch into where you need mentors all the way along your career, not just from day one? You know, I still have four or five people in our industry, some even younger than me, that I consider incredible mentors, and I roll stuff off them all the time.
Like how to use TikTok.
Yeah. I got some staff in our marketing team that are helping me with that. I think they've given up on me on that one. So helping me turn my computer on.
But
in the
that's
morning.
The difference between task. Doing good and thinking you're doing good. So many people. There's a perfect example. So somebody mentored me along the way, and I'm committed. If I get to that place, I'm going to give back. I'm going to do it, but I don't. I'll do it later. I'll do it when I retire. I'll do it someday, but not today.
Yeah, and today's the day. Today you start. Absolutely. Make today your first day. It's like working out. You know, I'm gonna start tomorrow. And then it's like next week, next month. You know what? New Year's resolutions are coming. I'm going to do it then. No. Start today.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is you want to do, need to do, should do, start today.
I love that. Powerful.
I agree.
Powerful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I struggle to do that many times, like working out. You look like you're not shy about working out here. I am a little shy about working out.
I'm just trying to keep up with my wife. When I don't put my clothes away, I get in trouble. She scares me.
I saw him in the lobby downstairs, and I was like, this guy works out.
He was doing push-ups while getting ready for the show.
That's I got him 4 sets of 25, yeah. Well, you know, there's that part of our triangle, healthy mind, absolutely, healthy body. So I figure if I don't stay active, then how can I put that out there as apparel for our organization, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's important.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Do you guys? Here's a question I've never asked. Do you guys get feedback? Because we had somebody in from Williams at a school. What's your role at the school there?
Campus director.
Campus director. Okay. So we had somebody who was a professor in a couple of years ago. And he said, he taught for a long time. He says, it's never been tougher to teach. I said, why? Because they just stare at you like you're a screen. They don't engage with you. He said, we used to try and, you know, get them going. We'd say something to try and stimulate it or have them argue with us or nod their head that they're listening. Or he said, they just stare at me like I'm a
screen. Stare back. Someone's going to break the ice.
So, yeah, how do you, again, is it getting harder to engage? People don't talk as much. They don't, because they're all separated, or they're working remotely, or they're working online. Or
you mean in a school context?
Yeah, or a business context. Is it harder to get people to engage with you? You want to challenge them. You want to be better. If they're just staring at you or they're tuning you out, how do you?
You know, my technique is I ask questions, and if I don't, I keep drilling it maybe a little deeper into, because I know they probably have something to say, even if they're quiet, they're nervous.
You're all dealing with young men here and young women. You know, you're dealing with exactly this target group. Are they tougher to reach these days? What do you think?
I think everybody.
I know I sound old.
I find in my classrooms, because I taught history a couple of semesters ago, and the same thing. You know, I try to establish a culture of making the students feel comfortable enough to be open to speaking.
Yeah,
you know, if there's things on their mind, we bring up certain periods of history, and it's like, what's your thoughts on this? I always try and relate it to what's happening today. So anything that's happening in the past, I feel like it's a correlation of what's happening today.
Lessons learned, maybe.
Right. Yeah. And I try to turn that around and say, well, what's your thoughts on this? You know, I just get them involved. And I see, like, I think that's a superpower for leadership, right? Is to create that culture where people feel comfortable enough to open up.
Yeah, Dale Carnegie has a principle about creating that eager want in people, eager want to be a part of something, or an eager want to be involved, to be engaged with.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's critical.
Yeah. But then if you get them to open up, then do you really listen? I see that too, where, yeah, that was good. I got you to talk. Now shut up and just do what I want you to do.
I think we all probably have that that negative nuance of maybe not listening long enough, deeply enough.
Yeah.
I'm working on that every day.
Yeah.
My wife tells me I have a lot more to go, a longer way to go.
My wife says, you're not listening. And I say, what?
Oh, you talking to me? Yeah. No, I hear her loud and clear. I know she's going to get a kick out if she does decide to listen to this.
Yeah. My wife's the same. She's like, I don't need you to fix it. Just listen.
Oh, I know. Three words out of her mouth. I've got 17 solutions. Do you like the top three or can we? And then she's just shaking her head. Like, I still don't get it.
All right. So we're all trying to do good, at least in that area here.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. How do we reach everybody here? Let's start with your guest here. How do they reach you if they want it? You threw out a challenge. I want to see if anybody picks it up. You would cross things off your calendar to mentor somebody if they really were serious.
I absolutely would. I would be ecstatic to be able to do that. Reaching the Y, you know, we're at 240 South Euclid Street in Anaheim. We're right across from Target. Okay. Our corporate offices, again, right off the 5. They can reach us online at AnaheimYMCA.org.
Can they follow you on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
You guys, at the level you get to, nobody thinks they can reach you.
Oh, no. I mean, I respond with it. Like I responded to William within about 14 minutes and 12 seconds, I think, was I timed myself.
He did. I was really surprised.
I was very honored, and I thought how wonderful that opportunity would be. Yeah, LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, on Facebook.
Not on TikTok, though, yet.
I'm not on TikTok.
But that's coming. He will be.
I can see it.
Well, for me, I'm on LinkedIn, William L. Deed, under LinkedIn. I post every day, so you'll see my post. And then my phone number, if you're interested in Oak Valley College or anything, you know, mentorship or, you know, whatever way I can.
Being on the show.
Point you to being on the show even. Yeah. 562-965-5155. And we're actively recruiting students for this coming 2026 school year as well. So if you're interested in becoming a student at Oak Valley College, reach out.
And we're actively looking for recruiting guests to come on the show and help us to define good together here.
Define good together.
All right. Thanks.
Well, William, off air, I'll give you a couple of guest leads as well.
Oh, good.
A couple of good friends of mine, obviously, I think, that are doing good to great as well. Yeah. So
that's what we're looking for. We don't want to just hear people doing okay or average. We want to hear good and maybe great here. All right. Thanks for joining us today here. It is a struggle in today's world, I think, more than ever. How do we define good? Is there a common definition of it? And once you define it, how do you do it? And not just talk about it. That's what we're going to try and do. We're going to talk about it and see the people who are actually defining good together, unpacking leadership, loyalty, and doing the right thing with our hosts, William Deed. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.